Hey guys, it's Chad. I hope that you guys are all doing well and getting used to being outside in this good weather. And I know that the parks are going to be opening up here soon, and that hopefully we'll be able to get back at it. I miss you guys. I know that we're not doing the Wednesdays yet. We're still doing the kids' corners here, but hopefully we'll get back to that too. And you know, and on Sundays, when your family feels comfortable, if you feel comfortable, you can still come to church on Sundays. It starts at 10 a.m. And we can, now you're upstairs with your parents. We're not doing downstairs yet. But, you know, or if you come by yourself, that's fine. I mean, you can still be, or you can sit by me. I'll sit by you, at least, you know, within some good social distancing there. But we'll make it work. So, as we always do, guys, let's start this out with a word of prayer. And we will get started with our Kids Corner lesson. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the youth, and we thank you for this community. We thank you for the opportunity to come before you today. We ask that you sit with us and help us through this and help us to learn the things that you have for us. We love you and we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as always, guys, before we get started with the lesson, let's go ahead and hit pause and listen to video one, and then come back after that's over. Unpause me and we'll get going with the lesson. So a boy, he's walking down the beach and he comes across an old bottle. He picks it up, pulls out the cork, and out pops a genie. The genie says, "Thank you for freeing me from the bottle. In return, I will grant you 3 wishes." The boy says, "Oh, that's so awesome. I always dreamed of this, and I know exactly what I want. First, I want $1,000,000,000 right here, right now." Lightning appears, big flash of light, and a big stack of money hits right beside him, $1,000,000,000. He continues, "Next, I want a brand new red dirt bike right here." Poof, lightning flashes and a brand new red dirt bike shows up right in front of him. And he says, "Finally, I know what I want." And this was a 16-year-old boy. He says, "I want all the girls to like me." Poof, lightning happens and he turns into a little puppy. See, let's be honest this evening, guys. Not getting exactly what we thought we were getting is going to be very frustrating for us at times, isn't it? We pray. We think that God is going to grant our wish. Maybe we pray for something to get something at Christmas, our birthday, and we don't get it. And it gets a little frustrating. You know, sometimes we have expectations of Jesus. And when we find that sometimes we don't think we received what we asked for. You know, I hear stories all the time about people praying for something and the problem gets solved, but the person praying is left disappointed because they feel like they didn't get exactly what they wanted. You know, the purpose of our church is clear. It is the purpose that Jesus left us with right before he ascended into heaven, that we make followers of everybody. That being said, though, it's also important for the church to refocus on the main mission of the church, and the church was established so that people could become closer followers. It's not always easy to redirect that. You know, this evening, we're going to look at a book in the Bible in Luke. And so if you want to turn to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. So New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And so go to there, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And before we get there, I think we need to look at a little history so we understand this. So on the day of the Pentecost, which we've just went over before all the COVID happens, the New Testament church was born. The Bible tells us about 3,000 people were baptized on that day. And in the following days, the church, it grew so big. Now, there were things happening in the church at that time, you know, persecutions, and the church was growing like wildfire, you know, but God knew that they needed to get the message beyond Jerusalem, beyond their home. So the Bible says that he scattered the church, that mainly happened by the Roman persecution. And it's no secret here that we exist to bring people closer in their relationship with God. And it's no secret that people often question the purpose of Christ. So we're going to look at one occasion in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. So starting off in 19:1, and I do have to say, guys, normally we used a New Living Translation. I just kind of like the story in the New International Version, so my words aren't going to look like your words, but just try to follow along. So verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and we've talked about Zacchaeus before, we know him. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not see. Remember Zacchaeus, he had to climb up a tree? So in verse 3, he says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, you come down here. Immediately, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, which means just whisper around. He was gone to be the guest of a sinner. The reference to Zacchaeus as a sinner here marks him immediately as kind of marginal to the community, which means he didn't mean much to the community, as someone who doesn't follow its standards. And because it doesn't tell us anything explicitly about Jewish practice in Jericho, it is difficult to kind of figure out Zacchaeus' offenses. His job as a tax collector may have just been enough for them to not like him. But what happened in the next couple verses is a reply, first from Zacchaeus, and then from Jesus about the accusations against him. So remember, guys, when we're reading the Bible and we see Jesus speaking, and in some Bibles, they have the red writing. It's important to pay attention. This is Jesus speaking. So in verse 8, it starts up, he says, But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Look, Lord, here and now I give you half of my possessions to the poor, and I have cheated. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. In verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, so pay attention, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. You know, it never ceases to amaze me about just how harsh and hard people can be at times. These people were in the crowd following Jesus, and they showed no compassion towards this man Jesus was talking with. That's who this man was to these people. He was a chief tax collector who got very rich by taking advantage of regular, hardworking people. He was the enemy to them. Zacchaeus, he didn't work for the IRS. He didn't work for Rome, and you know, he worked for Rome, and they said, we need a certain percentage, but it's up to you to determine your own wages. So this is kind of quick math. Zacchaeus didn't, he got very wealthy by saying, that's $1,000 for the government and $2,000 for me, and they'd have to pay him $3,000. So he could show up at virtually any time he wanted. And people were a little afraid of him, and they also hated him. This, you know, he was known as selfish, arrogant, and a cheat. You know, when you meet him today, he's that guy who, you know, kind of that kid on the street, the bully, the one that wants your milk money, or, you know, tries to take your lunch from you, or just is kind of mean and bullies you around. You know, and so kind of has that, do we really care if that person spends eternity separated from God? Well, these people, they didn't care about Zacchaeus and if he was separated from God. And maybe you think that way towards maybe somebody that's bullied you. In fact, the Bible, it actually makes an interesting statement about Zacchaeus wanted by saying Zacchaeus wanted to get close to Jesus, but the crowd was in the way. Do you know why they were in the way? It wasn't because they didn't like Zacchaeus. In fact, they weren't even thinking about him until Jesus found him. Remember, he's a short guy. He had to climb a tree. They weren't even really paying attention. And interestingly enough, these people, they weren't trying to stop this man from getting to Jesus. They just were not thinking about him. They weren't thinking about this man, but that's not why the crowd was in the way. The answer for us is in verse 11. See, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable because he was near Jerusalem and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. Did you catch that? The people thought that the kingdom of God was going to just appear at one time. Do you realize how loaded that statement is? Apparently, from this text, the people thought Jesus was going to like bob his head like that genie and boom, lightning bolt comes down and Jerusalem was restored. The people were expecting something else. An exclusive kingdom where they would no longer be subject to Rome or those tax collectors like Zacchaeus. An exclusive empire where they would be the focus and they could call the shots. They would be in charge. A kingdom that would exclude God's grace from filthy people. A kingdom that came from the one who would fill all their expectations. And if I get close enough to Jesus, perhaps he will grant some of my wishes. That day, the kingdom of God was demonstrated to them, but they did not see it. It was wide open because the mission of Jesus was clear to the one who needed him. Jesus demonstrated that the day that the kingdom of God is for everybody. Everybody. Whether they were bullies at one time, or liars, or cheats, or just bad people at one time, it didn't matter. The kingdom of God is for everybody. But he did something else that day. He set the mission for our church. He was not just saying, I came for everybody, but that the church needs to open its doors to everybody. Then he follows up by telling the crowd a story about a lost sheep, but the people didn't hear the message. The people missed the sermon because they were being selfish. They began to whisper and complain about who Jesus was focusing on. Hey, Jesus, we're right here and we're listening to you. Look at this, the guy who is going to restore Israel, and he is not doing what we think he should be doing. These people had a concept of what Jesus would do and what he would look like. They clearly had Jesus in that bottle, like that genie in the first little story. And they thought if they let him out, that their wishes and requests would just be complete. They would just be fulfilled. A hard question that we should ask ourselves is, do I ever put my own stuff and my own beliefs on Jesus? Have I ever tried to treat him like a genie in a bottle? And truthfully, which Jesus would we rather have? The one who grants wishes or the one who grants us eternal life? The Jesus that lives in a bottle or the one who has promised to reside in our hearts forever? You know, guys, as I looked over this text, I came up with a few things that are absolute truths about Jesus, and I think these are important. I think it's important to understand and learn these at a very young age, that Jesus will not be confined. He will not be trapped. He will not be put in a small bottle by human limitations. And it's also important to know that Jesus will not change for us. He is going to be who he's going to be forever. Jesus will not obey my commands. He does not exist to grant my wishes. He's not a genie in a bottle. He's not a fake character. He is real and living all the time. Jesus came here for the lost. This is why the crowd following Jesus didn't see poor Zacchaeus. But in fairness, they didn't know what to look for. All they had were some vague understandings of some past writings. By Jesus' own words, the people could not understand the fullness of the kingdom until after he died. So here we are 2,000 years after Jesus came. Even today, for some of us, Jesus has little more significance than being a genie in a bottle. We still want to pray every birthday or Christmas time or whatever to get that special gift. Some we pray to and we ask for favors. But those favors are not what we intended because we forget the purpose. People who need Jesus should not be hindered by seeing him because of his followers. Men like Zacchaeus should not have to run ahead and climb a tree for hopes of catching a glimpse of Jesus. And you know what I find most interesting about this? That Jesus walks right up to this man. He walks right up to Zacchaeus and says, "Come down from the tree." But that's not the only thing Jesus is saying. He is saying, Zacchaeus' holiness is here, and we've got you stuck like a treed animal. He is saying, Zacchaeus, I can see you are caught up in the branches of sinfulness. I can see that you're wrapped up in just like leaves of liars, and that sin, disobedience, and a life of cheating has made your temporary life good. And Jesus says to him, you come down here. You don't have to wonder anymore. You don't have to be alone. Zacchaeus, you just misguided, overlooked man. Come on down because your sins are forgiven. From the cross, Jesus has said, If you want to be with me, there's a price to pay. It was a price that Zacchaeus found, and a price that we all should be willing to make. In fact, for Zacchaeus, it was a pretty expensive for him, half his wealth. And if he had cheated anybody, then four times that amount. That means if he cheated them out of $2,000, that he would return it $8,000. See, this story that we just read here in Luke, it's irrefutable proof that knowing Jesus changes lives. And it's what we do with that information and how we take that information out into our friends, into our community, that's going to make the difference. Not having prayers that sound like we're wishing for with a genie in a bottle. Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much and we thank you for being with us today. We ask that you help us to remember this story, remember the stories that you left for us in the Bible, and we just thank you so much for them. Lord, we just ask that you watch over us and keep us safe, keep our communities safe, and we just ask that as we continue to grow, that we remember these foundational principles about you. We love you and we thank you. We ask this all in Jesus' precious heavenly name. Amen. As always, guys, go ahead at the end here and hit video 2 and listen to that last song. I miss you guys. I hope that you guys are all doing well. And hopefully when you guys feel comfortable enough, you'll be back in church and we'll get to see each other.
Thank you for listening. We are meeting again on Sunday for one service at 10 a.m. and following the recommended social distancing protocol. Our midweek services are still online only. Stay safe and have a great week.